What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. This is the podcast where you can hear the life stories behind the people on social media. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. And today is a takeaways episode. And if you're new here, what a takeaways episode is where I sit down and I talk to you about in those recent podcast episode of the week. And today we're discussing my conversation with Tiags. Now, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the full podcast with Tiags yet, make sure you pause this and go back and listen to it first before you come back over here and listen to the takeaways. But if you don't have time, who is Tiags? Tiags is a rapper and artist from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, where I am also from. He's dropped some of the most popular songs on TikTok, period. Songs like They Call Me Tiago, My Heart Went Oops, Float on the Sound, Muffins in the Freezer. Those are just a few of his many songs, but those are some of the biggest ones he's dropped that were like mega, mega viral. Early 2020, mid 2020. Those are some of the biggest songs on TikTok. And so that's Tiags. And I was lucky enough to actually record this podcast in person with him in my apartment, which is awesome. Because so for a little bit of context for you listening, if you didn't have a chance to listen to the full podcast yet, or you missed this or whatever it might be, but my first contact with Tiags came back in 2017. And so what happened with that is, so I used to vlog. I still do vlog. I have the same vlog channel, but I'm not focused on it like I was back in 2017. It was like I was trying to focus. I wanted to be a vlogger on YouTube. And so I had these vlogs that I was posting a lot more high, much better production quality than I do now. But so I was doing these vlogs. I get a random DM from this guy on Instagram. And I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, I can remember the exact intersection. I got the message. I'm pretty sure it was between, for anybody in Ottawa, it was the Queen Elizabeth Drive, or might be Prince of Wales. I don't know when that road switches, and Hogs Back. So the turn off right to get to Hogs Back Falls from Queen Elizabeth / Prince of Wales. I remember getting this Instagram message. I think I was driving home with my girlfriend, and I think her dad was driving us home at the time. Anyways, so I get this message from this guy at Tiago Sia _, I believe was his handle at the time. And it said, "Hey man, like, I wish I could pull it up, but his Instagram got deleted, so these messages no longer exist. I get a message like, 'Hey man, I like your vlogs. I'm a local rapper from Ottawa. I would love if you could put one of my songs in your video.'" And I was like, "Yeah, man, for sure. Like, let's do it." I thought that was the coolest thing, that somebody random that I didn't know found my vlogs and wanted me to feature their music. And he just started probably a few months before that. Somewhere between 4 to 8 months before he sent me this message. So he just started making his music at this point. So he sends me this song. Sends links me to Spotify. I go through it. Sends me a song called Shoe, which worked out well because I like to do a lot of shots, still do, in my vlogs of my feet as I'm walking. So I set up a song called Shoe on a shot of my shoes as I walk from my house to this park across the street from my old condo. Okay, now I'm confused as to where I was driving, because I wasn't driving down. Anyways, where I got the message and what I was doing when I got the message is relevant. So I get this message from Tiags. He sends me a song. I put a song in my video, and the video is still up. I'll link it here in the show notes if you want to check out that original vlog. It's like pretty early on in the video, so you don't have to watch my whole throwback vlog. But I tagged him in the comments, and actually, no, I'm going to pull it up right now. I want to pull this up and I can read you what I wrote about it. I wrote about Tiags in the description of the video, because I read it the other day, because I forgot I'd ever written anything. Hold on here, just pulling it up. Jacob Kelly. If you ever want to find these logs, just search up Jack Life and something will come up. JAK Life. That's how I've tagged these videos so they come up. But I do these vlogs more for myself than anybody now at this point. But anyway, so it says music song number one, Shoe-Tiags featuring Young Leo, produced by Elijah, ELJ. So what I wrote below that is, "The artist for this song, Tiags, reached out to me on Instagram, said he liked my video and asked if I could use one of his songs in my videos. I respect the hustle, so of course I said yes. He's local to Ottawa too, so that's an added bonus." So that was my first introduction to Tiags. And so I followed him for a while, and then eventually his account got deleted. I didn't realize we lost touch. We used to go back and forth every once in a while in the DMs. And then, yeah, I stumbled onto him in early 2020 when he was starting to get some serious traction. I think when I found him again on TikTok, he had about 200,000 followers. He's at like 4.2 million now, but I think he had about 200,000, and I followed him, and I didn't realize that these viral songs that I was listening to on TikTok were his songs. I found him through a different, he just popped up my feed, and I was like, "Oh, hey, it's Tiag." So I followed him, didn't realize for a couple of days that those, these viral songs were him. So we reconnected that way back on Instagram. And then, yeah, I've just been trying to set this up, this podcast, for the last couple of months now, going back and forth. And like, he's obviously been in LA and back, and he's had a hectic 2021. But he's finally back, and he hit me up on Instagram recently. He was like, "Hey man, do you still want to do that podcast?" And I was like, "Absolutely." He's like, "Can we do it in person?" I think like everyone, he's having a little bit of Zoom fatigue and he would prefer to do it in person. I was like, "For sure." It was the first in-person podcast I'd done in over a year. We did it in my apartment. I was like, I remember, so I set everything up. I had the lighting. I had my panel light, and I didn't have my softbox lights up because I didn't want to set them up because I was just feeling lazy. And I was like trying to do the lighting test because he was sitting up against the window because it was the nicest kind of most set looking type spot I could find in my apartment. But it's backlit, so I really have to light it heavily from behind the camera so that he looks normal and the background's not blown out. So I was trying to do it with just a panel light, and my girlfriend came home from work and she was looking at me doing these lighting tests, and she was like, "No, you got it. You got to get the soft boxes." So like right before he showed up, I set these soft boxes up. It was a little bit chaotic. He had to like kind of walk through a maze to get to where he sits because it's a small apartment. So there's like two giant soft box lights, a camera, some like TV tables with the mics on them. So he's like kind of working his way through these, but it all worked out, you know. And then we got an in-person podcast. It was fun. I enjoyed the energy. I enjoyed the vibes of doing it in person, being in the same room as the person I'm interviewing. I think there's some things that I have to work on. Like I lost a little bit of, like, I'm so used to doing them remotely now that there's some things that like I had to relearn. Like I found myself picking up on some of those audible ticks that I have. Like when you're doing an interview, like saying yeah after every question, almost interrupting them a little bit more versus when I'm doing it remotely, I usually wait for them to finish. But it felt more natural, right? Like I feel a little less like an interview than my other stuff did, but that's because it's in person. I just gotta get back into doing that. I don't think by any means that all of my podcasts moving forward are going to be in person again. I'd like doing them remote. It's easier. It's less of a time commitment. I can edit them so much quicker when they're remote. And the audio is honestly like, I think it can be better in person, but there's just some stuff I need to work on. I need to work on my setup where like I had the mics on tables. So every time one of us would bump our table that the mics were on, or we put a cup down or anything, or like I noticed that I was like, my foot was like shaking. Like I was just moving it like as like a twitch type thing, but it was like on the table. So sometimes the mic was like wobbling on the table. So a lot of little things that I can work on with improving the audio quality in person, but you know, I still put that episode. I mean, there's a lot more like thumps and bangs than I'd want going out on a podcast. But again, it's just all part of the process and part of learning, but it was really fun to do an in-person podcast again. Like I said, the energy was great. He brought a couple of his friends with him, a couple of his boys, and they were good. They were good dudes. All of us had some good chats after the podcast as well. So it's just a good time to do it in person again. And I think if I can tweak the setup a little bit and find a way to lift those mics off the tables, I have a couple mic arms. So that might be the move if I ever do the next time I do an in-person podcast. But no, it was a good time. And I'm really glad I got the chance to meet TX finally after all these years. It's literally been like four years since he first messaged me on Instagram. And yeah, so we never actually met in person all these years. And so finally we got the chance to meet in person and record this podcast. You know, the recording was total 2 hours. I think I cut it down to about 100, an hour and 40. But no, it was awesome. It was awesome. Great time. So shout out to TAGS for coming through my apartment. The first podcast I've done in this new apartment since I moved in, and first in-person podcast in over a year. But it was a ton of fun. But my goal with these takeaways episodes is to try and keep them under 20 minutes. I haven't even gotten into my takeaways yet. So we're going to try and do some of these. I got quite a few written down here. So maybe we'll try and cruise through these as fast as we can. So getting into the first one here, it's that you have so much, you can learn almost anything you want on the internet. TAGS learned. So TAGS, again, a now famous artist, learned everything about making music from YouTube. Everything. Anytime he'd have a problem, he'd just Google it. He said, you know, sometimes it gets annoying because you got to watch these like 54 minute videos explaining how to do what you're trying to do. And it can be boring, but you know, he stuck with it. And I think that's, if you aren't willing to watch like a 54 minute video to get better at your craft, it's the wrong craft. And so I just think that the access that the internet provides, the ability for you to learn anything online, is just such an incredible resource that everyone takes for granted. Everyone, especially everyone my age and younger, even where you don't really grow up without the internet, like you did kind of, but not really. Like we take it for granted. You jump back 30 years, there is not, like that. It's not as accessible as it is. There's not as information. It's like, it's just so incredible the amount of wealth of information we have at our fingertips, and we take it for granted every single day. We don't leverage it like we should. So if you want to learn anything, YouTube and Google, you can find the answer to almost anything you're looking for. And the other thing too that I thought was interesting with Tiags is he always says that like whenever there's a problem, he works back from it until he finds a solution that he can solve right now. So for example, the example that he gave on the podcast was he doesn't have gear. Okay. So he has no means of getting gear in front of him right now. So what does he need to get gear? He needs money. Okay. Does he have money? No, he doesn't have money. All right. So what does he need to get money? He needs a job. All right. Does he have a job? No, he doesn't have a job. So he goes back. How can he get a job? He can submit his resume. Does he have a resume? No. Boom. There we go. He can work on his resume. And now he's a step-by-step process on how to get on how to go from having no gear to having gear. It's going to take some time. It's a process, but he has it. And I like that ability to break down your problem, to work back from it, to every little step to find a solution that you can solve right now. Being solution-minded instead of problem-minded is such a strength for anybody. And so I really, really like that from Tiags, that he just identified a big problem, had no means of solving it immediately. So he worked it all the way back until he had a problem. So he had a solution that he could solve immediately. And I think you can do the same thing with any problem that you're facing. Work back, keep peeling back those problem layers until you can find a solution. The next thing too, when it comes to that job, so back to the example of he was working to get a job, he worked back to figure out what he had to do to get a job so he could take the money to invest it, to get it into gear. He reinvested a ton of his money into his passion, into his craft. And I feel like we waste so much money on stupid shit that if you have something that you're genuinely excited about that you want to pursue, why aren't you investing money into it? And not like, and again, with the caveat, first off, this is an investment advice. This is for entertainment and educational purposes only. I need to clarify that before I proceed. But if you have something you're passionate about and you're really not, and you're going and you'd rather go to the bar than invest in your passion, that's a problem. You're not going to make it like that. And so, I mean, like, I'm kind of hypocritical. I don't really invest a ton into my podcast. I've upgraded. But I have the gear. And so if you have the money, budget your money. So you have a little bit of money every month that you can invest into your passion, you know, get that better microphone, get that better camera and anything. And, but again, all that being said, you don't need all that stuff to get started. So if you don't have that kind of disposable income where you can just throw it at a new mic, a new camera, a new whatever, you don't need all of that to create content. You can do a podcast, you can do YouTube, you can, I don't know if you can make music, but you can write, you can do a podcast, you can make YouTube videos, all from your phone. And so you just need to get started. You need to stick with it, right? You're going to get better with repetition. That's one thing Tiags has learned. You know, one thing that I always give him credit for is his speed with his music is a huge, huge, huge strength. Because again, he has music, so he capitalizes on moments in culture to push his music out there. So at least three of his four mega, mega viral songs, he identified very popular sounds on TikTok and then was able to take those sounds and turn them into a song very fast so he could get them out there while that song was still popular. So not only is there a popular sound, he's made the meme and song version of that sound that people are then going to start reusing as well because they're using this meme, now they're using the musical version. And that doesn't work if he puts the song out 2 months after the TikTok sound is no longer popular. So he has to be able to do it fast. And I asked him, like, how have you been able to do that? Is it not necessarily caring about the full quality of the song? Or what do you do in order to get good and be able to do it so quickly? And he said, repetition. It's getting the reps in. You're going to get better every single time you do something. At least I hope you are. And so with Tiags, you're just doing the repetition and knowing that every single time he did a song, it was another rep that he'd put in. And I think the thing with that too is understand that you get better with every rep is that you also need to stick with it. you're going to, as, cause if you keep getting better, and even though you're not pop, your videos aren't popping, you're getting better and better and better every single time. And so with that, TAGS, what I think is just, you have to stick with it, because TAGS dropped over 700 songs with no real crazy traction. You know, he said he has maybe one or two here that might've popped for maybe 100,000 views on TikTok, which really is, can be a drop in the bucket on TikTok, all things considered. But nothing like that really popped, nothing that gave him a ton of traction for over 700 songs. And he started, sorry, not 700 songs, 700 videos on TikTok before one of them actually took off. And he just stuck with it. 700 songs. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of reps. But the thing is, he put in over 700 reps by the time his video popped. So now when his video did pop, he had the understanding of the platform of TikTok. He knew kind of what worked, kind of what did. He understood it better than if he'd popped on his third video and he had to figure it out. He had it figured out. He just needed that moment, and he took full advantage of it. And with that too, that's the adage that like failure helps lead to success, right? Is that's what that is. It's learn from your failures, learn what's not working, improve, iterate, try again. You fail, improve, iterate, try again until it finally starts to work. And now an interesting thing that I thought was from my conversation with TAGS was that the importance of an image, and you know, so it was because if you follow TAGS anyway, you've probably realized he dyed his hair half bleach blonde, half blue. And it's different and stands out. And I asked him, why did you decide to do that? And he said it was entirely a branding play. It's because he had these problems where everyone knew his songs, but no one knew him. He would go to LA and no one would have any idea who he was. But as soon as he'd say, oh, I made these songs, he'd be like, oh, I know who you are. But no one actually could look at TAGS and recognize him often. Like he said, it wasn't happening very often. And then so what his friend suggested him do is to dye his hair, and he dyed his hair. And now he gets recognized all the time. And so not only did he get recognized all the time, then he started putting out a ton of content about it. Like, I'm the guy behind these songs. And I'm pretty sure he doubled his following on TikTok in the last 6 months, 8 months. He focused on his image, something that basically what he said is the advice someone gave to him is, could someone dress up as you for Halloween? And if they can, then you have an image. If they can't, then you don't. And I think that's really, really interesting. And a good way to look at it. I mean, think like, I don't have an image. I don't necessarily need an image like a rapper needs an image, but I think it's good to be unique enough that someone can dress up as you have an identifiable image and an identifiable look. And so that's something I was like, that's really interesting. Can I work with that for the podcast? Something I'm still kind of percolating. We only recorded this podcast just over a week ago, so I haven't thought about it as much as I'd like to, but it's just an interesting thought that your image does matter. And the kind of the benchmark for an image, for having an image, is can someone dress up as you? And, you know, and TAGS himself even said that, like, I never used to think that was the case. I used to think that it was like the content and the work will speak for itself, and his content exploded and the work was speaking for itself, but no one still recognized him as much as you would think. And so he focused on the image now. And, you know, like I said on the podcast, I think that his most recent song, I Just Want to Dance, is the best song he's put out. It's obviously hasn't reached the height that and his other mega viral songs have reached, but he's getting recognized more now because he's focused on his image. And so I think that really, really helps to come up with an image and a look and a style and to be consistent with it and put those reps in and stick with it even when things aren't working. Stick with it, change things up a little bit here and there until you figure out what works, but your image, both in the look of your content, the sound of your content, your look as well, it all matters. And you might not think it does, but TAGS is a living, breathing example of that. And the next thing we'll talk about, dude, this is kind of, again, tied back into 700 videos that TAGS released on TikTok, hundreds of songs that he put out before any really popped. And he said that, look, no one's going to remember your failures. People only remember the hits. And, you know, it's like, in the example he gave is, what are some of the Beatles' biggest songs? And if I gave you a minute, you'd probably name a couple, right? Like there's a ton of Beatles hits, obviously, so we could be here for a while, but you can name some Beatles hits. And I said, now what are some of the Beatles songs that flopped? You don't really know. You probably can't name them because you don't know what they are. And a lot of people don't know what they are because they're the ones that people don't remember. People remember the hits. So even if you start putting out content and things aren't landing well and this and that, that's fine. Because no one's going to remember the content that doesn't do well. People are going to remember the content that hits, that pops. They're going to remember the successes. And the way you get to those successes is by putting up a bunch of videos that flop. And by having those failures and learning from them, eventually you'll like drop those hits. But it takes dropping a bunch of failures first to get to the hits. And I think that TAGS does that I think is really interesting that I kind of knew coming into it, but I wanted to confirm it when he was here on the podcast, that he still lives with his parents. And I was like, and I just think that's so important for people to hear. I feel like people are on such a rush to get out of their house and leave, move out of the nest and not live with their parents. And I understand the appeal to that. I moved out. I moved away from my parents. I granted my grandparents, but 18 years old, I moved out from my grandparents' house at 19, a month before my 20th birthday. And so I was out pretty quick. And I understand, again, I understand the appeal to that, but it's not necessarily like the be all end all, you know? I just look back at the amount of money I've spent since I've moved out is insane. And I think I would have moved out by now regardless. Like I probably would have, had I not moved out at 1920, I would have moved out at 2021. But like, it's just crazy the amount of money that you don't realize you spend, you have to spend in order to live on your own. And so if you have the luxury of living at home, why not? You get to save so much money. It's insane. Like I think if I could go home, live at home again, I could probably have a down payment for a house or something like that. If I lived at home for a year. And so it's just crazy amount of stuff that like the amount of money that could be saved if you just live at home. And TX does that. And I think that's really cool. I think you'd be hard pressed to find another successful artist that lives at home still. You know what I mean? Especially someone that's had as much success as TX has had in the last year, where he's probably had a lot of good opportunities come his way. To still live at home with his parents. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that that's an option. You know, I think moving out is great as well. I think there's advantages to it, but I also think that like living at home, it keeps you humble too. So especially in TX's case, where he's exploring living at home and being back in that basement where he started making his music, probably keeps him humble. And so another thing kind of all along the lines of that is living at home. He also has fake chains, but he owns it. He talked about like how it doesn't make sense to him to drop all this crazy money on a chain. And even if you do, I thought there's, he didn't like say this is his point, but he was in his like greater point of like why he has fake chains. He's like, people always ask me all the time if it's real. And I'm always like, no, it's not real. You know, like that's such a waste of money. And I think that's an interesting point, that people ask him if it's real because they can't tell the difference. The same way, if you have a real chain, people are going to ask you if it's real or if it's fake. They can't actually tell the difference. And I think that that's why, like, what are some things that you buy for other people, you know, to front to other people, to look a certain way, because that's what you think other people want from you. You know, like I had no idea that TX's chain was fake. I saw it up close in person. Granted, I wasn't staring at it because that's not something I really care about. I'm not someone that's attracted to chains, and that's not something I would ever wear. But it's, again, I was there in person with him and I couldn't tell. So really, I just think that was another interesting point that he's made, that like, you know what, that's not what he is. That's not what he's trying to be. He's not trying to drop 50 racks on a chain. He's got this fake chain. I think he said it was like, what, $1,500 or something like that? Maybe more. I don't actually remember if he said the price. But I just thought that was really interesting that he has a fake chain, but he reps it. And he owns the fact that it's a fake chain and no one can really tell. Once he tells people, no one actually really cares. Like if you have, it's all about owning your shit. Like if he had this fake chain and he was telling everybody it was real, and then people found out it was fake, then people would be pissed. But he has a fake chain and he tells people, no, it's a fake chain. People go, oh, okay, whatever. And they move on. You know what I'm saying? And so that's something I think that like, just own your shit, right? People don't care if you own your shit. People care if you try to lie and sidestep your way out of your reality. Own your reality. People don't care. If you just own the fact of who you are and your circumstance and where you're at in life and what you have, people aren't going to care. People care when you try to be something you're not. So just be authentically yourself. And that's the whole game. Just be who you are. And I know that's a difficult thing. It's even harder to do when you put a camera on yourself, right? Like this is how I'm talking to you right now is not how I talk regularly. But this is my podcast voice, right? The same way you have a retail voice. And I understand in some instances, like with my podcast, I think it sounds better when I talk like this. I think it makes the podcast a more enjoyable experience. I've talked about it in the past, but I talk out of like the top of my throat as opposed to out of my mouth which I normally talk. And so I think it's just an interesting little switch that I've developed over time. But outside of instances like that, like when it comes to your image, again, TX's image, he's very authentically himself. Right? Like everything he's done, he's kind of enhanced his image, like enhanced who he is a little bit. Like he likes everything about his image, but he's not doing anything crazy that's not authentic to himself. Right? And so I think that's the final take I leave on is be authentic in your content as much as you can. You know what I mean? Like I changed my voice, but this is still me talking. I'm not trying to be someone I'm not in these videos, in these podcasts. So That's the final takeaways. Be authentically yourself. But speaking of that, I want to thank you for listening to this entire podcast. Will you listen the entire way through? And listen to bits and pieces. I really appreciate you taking time to check this out. Honestly, all things considered, despite the fact I did like a 9-minute monologue to start this off about how I know TAGs, the fact that this is only 25 minutes, I'm pretty pumped. We'll get these under 20 eventually. That's the goal. I actually have an idea of changing up these takeaways a little bit so I can turn them into micro content for TikTok, but that's something I got to think about a little bit more. Seriously, thank you for checking this out. If you want to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. If you like to follow TAGs, I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so you can find it. I'll also link to that vlog that I mentioned where I put an old TAG song in it back in 2017. But yeah, if you enjoyed, like I said, leave us a positive rating interview, share this episode, share the interview with TAGs with a friend. I'd really appreciate it. Helping new people find the show obviously helps us grow it. But yeah, make sure you subscribe, put up brand new interviews every single Monday. A brand new takeaways episode like this is an audio exclusive every single Thursday. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. Thank you once again for listening, everybody. We'll talk soon.